السلام علیکم
و رحمت الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد لله رب العالمین و صلی الله علی محمد و آله الطاهرین. اللهم صل علی محمد و آله محمد. It's an honor to be with you brothers and sisters once again during the first few nights of the holy month of Muharram, and I want to thank the committee of Dar al-Zahra for giving me this opportunity to share a few moments with you. The whole episode of Karbala was definitely a historical narrative, and no one denies that. It happened many years ago, and it happened in the physical realm, and that's a definite. But the esoteric, batini aspects of Karbala, that can easily become extinct if we don't become attentive to it. And then Karbala will just become a superficial, superfluous phenomenon with no inner life that can grant us prosperity in this dunya and in the hereafter. The secrets of Karbala are important, and being attentive to these secrets is very important if you want to grow. What was Karbala all about? And then with every holy figure involved in the massacre, there's a story behind it. And usually the pulpits, they only touch upon the superficial side of the story of that particular holy figure. And no one is denying that superficial aspect, but sufficing with the superficial aspect of Karbala and those holy figures on the day of Ashura is a waste of oneself, one's religion, and you're wasting the holy figures involved in Karbala, and that's a sin, without a doubt, albeit a tariq sin, but it's a sin. You're contaminating yourselves. You're a hypocrite. During the next few nights, every night, inshallah, I'll cover certain aspects, because the urafa, the Gnostics, the mystics, they were attentive to the secrets of Karbala. And with each holy figure, they went through, in addition to the superficial aspect, but they went through the batini aspects. Now, tomorrow I'll start my main subject matter. It's on something else. But today I just wanted to go through certain aspects of Karbala and answer this question. What was it all about? You see? And this, I have to go through certain preliminary points, and then I'll end with a poem from Umman Samani. He lived 200 years ago. He was a secret disciple of Ahund Kashi, who was very well known and popular in the seminaries of the time in teaching the Zahiri and the Batini sciences. But he was a very close disciple of Ahund Kashi. He has a book. You can easily find it here in the bookshops in Qom. It's in Farsi. It's all poems. Poems in relation to Karbala. A And in these poems, he's attentive to the secrets of Karbala. From beginning to end, he goes through it all. And I'll end with his poem. And in this segment of the poem, he says, what was all this about? And then he tries to answer this question. But I have to go through certain preliminary points here to start off with. The claim made is this, that Allah's attributes and the love of Allah manifested maximally at a certain time in history, 1400 years ago, in Karbala. And never was the love of Allah exhibited or displayed in the whole of history. It's a question of Allah's love. It was never manifested maximally to this degree as it was in Karbala. That's the claim. So through Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Allah's attributes were manifested maximally. How was it to be manifested? What happened for it to be manifested through Imam Hussein? It was the degree of the love of Imam Hussein in a particular time frame, in a particular geography, it happened. That doesn't mean that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, God forbid, is higher than the Holy Messenger or higher in status than Amirul Mu'mineen. No, they were higher. The Holy Messenger, of course, he was of a higher status. But their deeds led to this offspring of Imam Hussein, and their teachings led to this, to make Imam Hussein do what he did, but also the context and the geographical situation at a particular time, in a particular land, it all came together at that point. So the time and place factors also played a role. But in Karbala, Allah's attributes manifested maximally, and it happened at a particular time and a particular place through Imam Hussein alayhi salam, because of the love of Allah. That's the claim. Now this has to be explained. I'll first go through an analogy. It's only an analogy, but this analogy will help us to understand the more deeper aspects involved. Sometimes an architect, they're planning a village or a set of houses to build. Before the physical houses are built, the architect is an architect, and therefore the whole plan for this set of houses, it's all in his mind, his abstract mind, because he's an architect. The knowledge of architecture is within him. Then that's the first step. The next step is, from that abstract knowledge of architecture, he or she, the architect, comes and mentally conceives of the set of houses and the plan of the houses. But it's a mental conception. So the abstract knowledge, which was abstract, there was no mental pictures or anything, has now descended to a lower level of, it's manifested as mental pictures, mental images. The next step is, he brings it on a piece of paper, you see, another step down. Finally, it's built in the physical realm. The houses are built there. If you were to ask, were those houses, are these physical houses, did they exist in the mind of the architect? We say no. The physical houses didn't exist in the mind of the architect. But if you say, did the houses exist?
Yes.
We say yes. These houses, the houses, not the physical houses. The house, yes, that was in the knowledge of the architect from way before. The same for me and you. Did we exist, this physical me and you? And did our souls exist before our physical creation? We say no, it didn't exist. But if you say, did you exist? Not your soul, not your physical aspect. Did you exist? We say, of course you did. You existed in Allah's knowledge since pre-eternity. And then a number of steps, starting with Allah's knowledge, pre-eternal knowledge, a number of steps descended. Eventually, the physical you came to be born, and the soul came to arise. Look, from the architect's mind to the physical house, from Allah's knowledge to the physical me and you. But in the same way that the physical house doesn't emanate directly from the abstract mind, and it has to go through a set of stages, not from the mind to the physical creation. It has to go through the mental conception, then it goes on paper, then it comes. It has to go through those stages. From Allah's knowledge to the creation of me and you, it went through a number of stages, starting from the immaterial knowledge of Allah to a semi-immaterial manifestation of Allah's knowledge. You can call it Alamadhar or whatever you want. Then step by step, it came, descended, manifested, until we came to be born. Look. Now, with Karbala, the physical event, it existed in Allah's knowledge. And then that abstract knowledge of Allah, that immaterial knowledge of Allah, manifested to a semi-immaterial Barzakhi, Alam Dharri realm. Me and you weren't there, the physical me and you. And then it kept on going until one by one the physical events happened. But the physical events that happened are a manifestation of what was in Allah's knowledge. Because Allah's knowledge from pre-eternity to post-eternity is equivocal, is one. And now that one thing is being manifested in stages. What the Urafa have done in their poems, or what they have tried to do, is that semi-immaterial realm where Allah's knowledge of Karbala manifested in the semi-immaterial realm where there are now entities and people involved. What is commonly known as Alamadhar, they kind of picture that and they give a tafsir of that manifestation of Allah's knowledge. Look, Imam Hussein's body and soul didn't exist in the Alamadhar. Okay? It's a manifestation of Allah's knowledge of Karbala or anything else, but we're talking about Karbala now. Allah's knowledge of Karbala became manifested in a semi-immaterial realm. In a semi-immaterial realm, we now have bodies. There's no physical matter, but there are people. There are voices. It's like dreams that we have, for example. There's no physical matter in your dreams, but you can see things. There are people, speeches, and so on and so forth. Allah's pre-eternal knowledge of Karbala, in its first manifestation, now the Urafa enter the scene. Look, they enter the scene. When they enter the scene at this stage, their take on Karbala is much deeper than if you enter from the final physical stage. It's going to be very limited. When you enter to give a tafsir of Karbala at the physical stage, you've missed out. But when you enter Karbala to give a tafsir at that semi-immaterial manifestation of Allah's knowledge, at that stage, yes, that's very important. There's a big difference here. The claim made is that the love of Allah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam at a particular time and place manifested maximally. No one else was able to do this. Only Imam Hussein alayhi salam managed to manifest these attributes at that degree. No one else was able to do it, even though Imam Hussein alayhi salam, of course, he's indebted to the teachings of his mother, father, the events that happened to his mother, the events that happened to his father, the events that happened to his grandfather, all these played a role. But it happened with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The event happened with Imam Hussein. Now this physical event, it was in Allah's knowledge, abstract, immaterial. It manifested semi-immaterially in Alam-e-Zar. This love of Allah that manifested maximally in Alam-e-Zar, which was the semi-immaterial manifestation of Allah's knowledge before the physical creation, this has been depicted by the Urafa, this love of Allah, as the drinking of wine, sharaban tahura, pure wine. In the Quran, this talk of pure wine. In the Quran, this talk of rivers of wine. Who wasaqahum rabbuhum sharaban tahura? Allah satiated them with a pure wine. What did they do for them to be given this pure wine, this pure drink? These rivers of wine that people will be given in the hereafter, what did they do that will be manifested as pure wine? Naturally, we're not speaking about the physical wine here. That's nothing to do with our discussions. So the question is a question of the love of Allah when you're intoxicated in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and there's no ego. It's all Him. The love of Allah has reached a maximum. This has been depicted by the Urafa through verses of the Quran and traditions of Ahlul Bayt as them drinking the pure wine. When did they drink it? In that Alam-e-Zar. Who drank it? It's an important question. Who was able to drink it maximally? Were other people offered the pure wine in that semi-immaterial realm? This love of Allah, whose is it? Were we offered it? Do we have the capacity for it? That's one point. God, just to explain this love of Allah, I'll go through two traditions and then one verse of the Quran, then the poem, inshallah. Inna lillahi ta'ala sharaban li'awliya'ihi. Verily with Allah, there is a wine, a drink for His lovers. Allah has a drink for His lovers. إِذَا شَرَبُوا, if they drink it, سَكَرُوا, they'll be intoxicated. These are ahadith we have. Sometimes the ahadith, Mullah Faiz Kashani may mention it. He doesn't give the source. That shouldn't put you off. Once upon a time, ahadith, one had to have permission to propagate and spread ahadith. They had to get permission from their mentors. It wasn't a case of just whatever they knew, they would just give out. Many ahadith that we have, we don't know the source. Mullah Sadra mentions them. Ibn Arabi mentions them. Faiz Kashani mentions them, like this one. But we don't know the source. When you read the ahadith, it's on a par with the Quran. It doesn't go against the Quran. Actually, it's on a par with it. There's mention of it. There's support for it in the Quran. Or there's support for it in other indisputable traditions of Ahlul Bayt. Or it doesn't go against rationality. That much we understand, and that's enough. But we don't know the source. Just because you don't know the source, don't refute the hadith. And these are those kind of ahadith. And there are still many more. There are many mentor-student relationships where the student, although it's on the brink of extinction, but the student in his heart has a number of ahadith. He can't bring it out in the open unless the mentor allows them to. Verily, with Allah Ta'ala is a drink for his lovers. Whoever drinks it will become intoxicated. Whoever becomes intoxicated, وَإِذَا سَكَرُوا, when they become intoxicated, تَرَبُوا, they become ecstatic. وَإِذَا تَرَبُوا, this is a divine ecstasy now. وَإِذَا تَرَبُوا تَلَبُوا, when they become ecstatic, they seek for Allah. وَإِذَا تَلَبُوا وَجَدُوا, when they seek Allah, they will perceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا وَجَدُوا تَابُوا, when they perceive Allah with the eyes of the heart, they become pure. They become pure. وَإِذَا تَابُوا ذَابُوا, when they become pure, they melt. وَإِذَا ذَابُوا أُخْلِسُوا, when they melt, they become mukhlas, they become refined. Not their actions, they themselves, the soul becomes refined. Sometimes your actions become sincere with ikhlas. Sometimes you become sincere. When you melt, then they become refined, the soul. وَإِذَا أُخْلِسُوا وَسَلُوا, when the soul is slaughtered now and is refined, there's no ego, وَسَلُوا, they join. وَإِذَا وَسَلُوا اِتَّسَلُوا, when they join Allah, they're in unity now with Allah. وَإِذَا تَسَلُوا, when they're in unity with Allah, لَا فَرْغَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ حَبِيبِهِمْ, there's no difference between them and their beloved one. Their words are Allah's words. Their actions are Allah's actions. In the dua, in the month of Rajab, attributed to the 12th Imam, the same phrase is given. There's no difference. It's only in that dua it says, but only the Imams, for example, or those who reach such a status, it's open for me and you. They are Allah's servants, though. Whereas Allah is the worshipped one. So here, the question of the pure drink and the love of Allah is mentioned in this hadith. Don't lose the plot in that semi-immaterial manifestation of God's knowledge of Karbala. before the physical realm actualized, the urafa bring the question of the pure wine and the love of Allah. That's one hadith. In another hadith, it reads, "Man talabani," Allah says, "Man talabani wajadani." Whoever seeks me will find me. وَمَنْ وَجَدَنِي أَرَفَنِي. Whoever finds me has gnosis of me, has acquired recognition of me, irfan. وَمَنْ أَرَفَنِي أَحَبَّنِي. Whoever acquires irfan of me, Allah, will like me. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي أَشَّغَنِي. Whoever likes me will love me. وَمَنْ أَشَّقَنِي أَشَّقْتُهُ. Whoever loves me, I, Allah, will love them. وَمَنْ أَشَّقْتُهُ قَتَلْتُهُ. Whoever I, Allah, loves, I will kill. Destroy the ego. They'll have no ego. Then they and me will be in unity. I love them. When I love them, their ego I will get rid of. I'll kill them. وَمَنْ قَتَلْتُهُ فَأَلَيَّدِيَتُهُ. Whoever I, Allah, kill, their blood money is upon me, Allah. وَمَنْ أَلَيَّدِيَتُهُ فَأَنَدِيَتُهُ. Whoever's blood money is upon me, Allah, I am the blood money. Allah is the blood money now. Me and you, we're in unity. I've got rid of your ego. It's all me now in you. Your words are my words. Your actions are my actions. There is no you. This me, you, I, these are mental constructs that we're drowned in. These have to be got rid of through the love of Allah, through the pure wine. Don't lose the plot. Through the love of Allah, it can be gotten rid of. Through the pure wine, it can be gotten rid of. And in the Holy Quran, when it says, "Qul," to the Holy Messenger, say, "In kuntum tuhibbun Allah," if you want to love Allah, "Fattabi'uni," follow me, the Prophet, my words, my actions, my spiritual states. You do that, yuhibbukumullah, Allah will love you. When Allah loves you, all those phases happen. So Allah has to love you. You have to acquire the love of Allah. Okay. Now, before going into the poem is a batini tafsir of this verse of the Holy Quran. In chapter 33, verse 72. Inna aradna al-amanata ala as-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibal. Verily we offered, presented the amana upon the heavens, earth, mountains. We, Allah, we offered the trust, the deposit, the amana to all the entities of creation. We offered it. When did this happen? When did this happen? It happened pre-eternally. It's even happening now, moment to moment. It's happening at Olamadar, but Olamadar is happening even now, moment to moment. When you offer someone an amana, that person has to return the amana to you. They have to return the trust, the deposit, whatever the translation is, they have to give it back. So they have to see, are we ready to be a recipient? And are we ready to bear this amana? That's an important question. Are we ready to bear it? What is this amana? I'll come to that in a minute. So it was offered by who? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When in that semi-immaterial realm, before the physical creation of things, but the heavens existed there. Not the physical heaven, but the heavens existed, the earth existed, we existed, you, me, I existed, the mountains existed, animals existed, it was all in Allah's knowledge. It manifested in a realm, the next realm, which was semi-immaterial. Now you can see mountains in that realm. You can see people, animals. Not physical people or animals or mountains. But now there are things that can be conceived of. It's semi-immaterial. We offered the amana, the trust over the heavens, the earth, the mountains. فَأَبَيْنَا أَيَّحْمِلْنَهَا. But they refused. They couldn't bear it. They couldn't bear the amana. Allah offered them the amana in that realm. They couldn't bear it. What was the amana? Look, all this is connected to Karbala now. Slowly, slowly. You have to just be patient a bit. We offered the amana to all entities. They refused to bear it. وَأَشْفَقْنَا مِنْهَا. They were even scared of it. They were afraid of such a, you know, trust to be put over them, their shoulders. They said, no, not us. We can't. This amana is not for us. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. But insan, mankind in that realm, me and you, we bore it. We undertook it. We said, yes, give the amana, we will accept it. We will accept this amana. إِنَّهُ كَانَ ذَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Verily mankind, they're very oppressive and they're very ignorant. These are terms of hyperbole, paradigms of hyperbole. Mankind, they accepted the amana. But mankind, on the whole, they're very oppressive, they're very ignorant. Allama Tabatabai says that when it says mankind is very oppressive and very ignorant, it means it's relative, and therefore there are some people who are the opposite of very oppressive and very ignorant. Some Urafa also mention that Dhaluma, very oppressive, it means they're very oppressive to the soul's whims, to the ego. They eliminate it, suppress it. They're oppressive to their nafs. And they're very ignorant. It means they're very ignorant in relation to other than Allah. They're always thinking of Allah. Both interpretations are okay. The question is, what is this amana which Allah offered and only man accepted? In the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt and from the logical verses of the Quran, the answer is wilaya. Wilaya is translated in many different ways: love, friendship, guardianship. But essentially it's the juxtaposition of two things. And these two things are so much in unity that they have wilaya. So wilaya is a form of proximity between two things. Now between us and Allah, when this talk of wilaya, wilaya means the love of Allah. Being his awliya, his disciples, his lovers. Sometimes, and that's a two-way thing between us and Allah. Sometimes it's a one-way wilaya. And there wilaya is translated as guardianship, where one has guardianship over the other. This wilaya here, which is an amana given by Allah to people, is this: that who can bear this wilaya of being my khalifa, i.e. manifesting me maximally, my successor, Allah's successor. You want to be a successor of Allah, meaning you want to be a khalifa of Allah, meaning you want to manifest His attributes maximally. Who can do it? I'm offering it to the heavens. They say no. In that semi-immaterial realm. I've offered it to the earth. No. To the mountains. No. Animals. No. This. No. That. No. Insan comes and says, we can do it. Because man has that capacity. Man says, I have that capacity to manifest you maximally. Okay. Now, from here, I'll enter the poem. This poem is a substitute for words of bereavement. But it's very important if you get to the message of it. Now, it's in Farsi. Since now we're in Iran and most of you are seminary students, I'll go through it. And here it's a batini tafsir of this verse, of offering the trust, that love of Allah, wilaya. And only humans can bear that love of Allah. But not all of them. And with Imam Hussein, he bore it and undertook it to a degree that no one has ever manifested to that degree. Pardei kandar barabar dashtand, waqt amad parde ro bardashtand. The translation is my own. I don't think it's translated into English, but it's a paraphrased translation. The veil that was facing them in Al-Madar, the time came for it to be removed. Because now the love of Allah wants to be presented to you. Before that you were blind. The veils are to be removed now. Saqi ba saqari chun aftab amad o ishq andaran saqar sharab. The cup bearer, the saqi, the satiator, wa saqahum rabbuhum sharaban tahura, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The cup bearer with a chalice, a goblet, a cup, like the sun, so luminous, has come with wine, the love within the chalice. So the wine in the chalice, that's the love of Allah. The cup bearer is Allah, or the representative, maybe it may be the angels, but for now it's Allah, has come with that love of Allah in the form of a chalice. He wants to offer it. Who's going to drink from it? Who can drink from it? Pas neda dad u na pinhan bar mala kasala ibad kharan as-sala. So Allah called out, not covertly, but in the open. Everyone got to know. Here it is, O drinkers of wine. Here you are, O drinkers of wine. The love of Allah, the wilaya, the amana. Hamcho in mei khushgovar o saf nist. Tarke in mei goftan as in saf nist. Such a wine, though, is not wholesome and refined, but bidding it farewell, saying, no, I don't want to drink it, it's not insaf, it's not just. Habbada in mei ke har kas maste ust, khilqat ashya maqam paste ust. Bravo to such wine, in which whoever becomes intoxicated with it, the creation of things, the worldly realm, is the lowest of the low for them. Harke'in meichord jahal azkaf behesht gome aval poi kubad dar behesht. Whoever consumes this wine has gotten rid of ignorance totally. Their first stride will tread in heaven in the hereafter. There's no barzakh, questioning of angels. It was here, and when they die, they'll be in heaven. جمله ذرات از جا خواستند ساغر می را ز ساقی خواستند. All the entities of the all things arose from their place, desiring the chalice of wine from the Sagi, the cup bearer. Everyone wanted it. That wilaya, that love of Allah, the wine. Bar digar amad az Sagi seda, talib anjam ra sar zad neda. Once again, the Sagi, the cupbearer's call was given, calling out to the seeker of the chalice. Ey ke az jan talib in badi, bahre ashamidanash amadi. O you who seek this wine existentially with all your existence, are you prepared for its consumption? گرچه این می را دوصد مستی بود نیست را سرمایه هستی بود. Although this wine is manifold intoxicating, it's an asset that grants nothingness. You'll be annihilated in Allah. It'll annihilate you. از خمار آن حذر کن کین خمار از سر مستان برون آرد دمار. Beware of its intoxication of the wine. Beware, for it sucks out the worldly life with severity from the intoxicated. درد و رنج و قصه را آماده شو بعد از آن آماده این باده شو. Be prepared for the pain, burden, and sorrow. After being prepared for such, now be prepared for such a wine. You have to be prepared. But before you drink the wine, you have to undergo those pain and burdens. You have to be prepared for it. In najam ishrat, in jam velast. درد او درد است و صاف او بلاست. This is not a worldly chalice, but it's the chalice of love. Its sediment is painful. Its transparent part is burdensome. In wine, there's a transparent part. And at the bottom of the wine, the cup, are the sediments. The sediments is at the bottom. You only get to it once you drink all the wine. Its sediment is painful. Even the transparent part is burdensome. بر هوای او نفس هر کس کشید یک قدم نارفته پا را پس کشید. Whoever takes a breath on a paw with this wine's tendency and inclination will retract a step before taking a step forward. They can't bear it. سر کشید اول به دعوا آسمان کین سعادت را به خود بردی گمان. The heavens entered first with a claim. They came and said, we will drink from it, thinking this salvation is theirs.
the skies.
زری شد زان سعادت کامیاب، زان بتابید از زمیرش آفتاب. A small share of that salvation did they prosper. Only a small share. And from it, that small share, that sip that they were able to take, shone the sun from their essence. The sun that we see in the heavens is a result of a sip of that divine love that they were able to drink. جرعه هم ریخت زان ساغر به خاک، زان سبب شد مدفن تنهای پاک. A drop was poured from the chalice unto now the earth. You see the verse said على السماوات والأرض. The next, the earth had a claim. A sip of the chalice was poured onto the earth. As a result, it became the earth. What was its result? It became the burial place for holy bodies by just having a sip of the chalice. تر شد آن یک را لب، این یک را گلو، و از گلو یکس نرفت آن می فرو. Someone's lips became moist, another person's throat became moist, but that wine did not pass through anyone's throat, go all the way down. فرقی دیگر به بو قانه شدند، فرقی از خوردنش مانع شدند. Another group were content with the odor of the wine. They couldn't drink it, even a sip. Another became a hindrance to themselves in relation to consuming it. بود آن می از تغییر در خروش، در دل ساغر چو می در خم به جوش. The wine by this time was cascading, outflowing with anger, with distress. How come no one's drinking it? In the heart of the chalice, like bubbling wine in a container. All the wine here being that love of Allah. چون موافق با لب همدم نشد، آن همه خوردند و اصلا کم نشد. Since that wine wasn't in harmony with any of the companions' lips, all those had consumed, but the wine had not lessened. It was still flowing. باز ساقی برکشید از دل خروش، گفت ای صافی دلان درد نوش. The ساقی, the cup bearer, once again uttered distress from within. Maybe the cup bearer is Jibreel, for example. Uttered distress. Who's going to drink this? And said, the cup bearer said, O refined ones and drinkers of the sediment. Drinkers of the sediment means those who can drink all the wine, who can manifest Allah's love maximally because they reach the sediment of the wine. مرد خواهم همتی عالی کند، ساغر ما را ز می خالی کند. A man I want with a lofty endeavor to empty our chalice from wine. انبیا و اولیا را با نیاز، شد به ساغر گردن خواهش دراز. Prophets and disciples now came forward in that realm to drink from the chalice. They came yearning towards the chalice, seeking it. Prophets, disciples. جمله را دل در طلب چون خم به جوش، لیک آن سرخیل مخموران خموش. The hearts of all of them were seeking it like a container in distress, bubbling, they wanted it. However, the leader of the groups of the intoxicated was silent. The prophets went, the disciples went in distress to drink from it.
The leader of the intoxicated was still silent, hasn't come forth yet. سر به بالا یک سر از برنا و پیر لیک آن منظور ساقی سر بزیر. All had their heads up, the prophet, high. They had their heads up high, from the young, like Nabi Yahya, to the old, like Nabi Zakaria. Yet, that which was intended by the cupbearer was head down. هر یک از جان همتی بگماشتند، جرعه از آن قده برداشتند. Each of those prophets and disciples had exerted an effort from their souls to drink from it, taking but a sip from the bowl. They only took a sip. باز بود آن جام عشق ذوالجلال همچنان در دست ساقی مال مال. Yet the chalice of love of the All Majestic One was still overflowing in the hands of the cupbearer. جام بر کف منتظر ساقی هنوز الله الله غیرت آمد غیر سوز. The cupbearer still waiting with the chalice in hand. الله الله زیل غیرت came, and what a zeal, dislodging all other than Allah. باز ساقی گفت تا چند انتظار این حریف لاعبالی سر برار. The ساقی exclaimed, until when is this waiting to continue in that semi-immaterial realm? Until when am I to wait? O audacious one, O bold one, O non-calculating one, raise your head, come and take from the chalice. ای قده پیما درا هویی بزن گوی چوگانت سرم گویی بزن. Come forth, the cupbearer, Jibreel for example, come forth, O drinkers of the bowl, exclaim your existence, say that you are, you exist. The ball of chogan, that sport, shogan, the ball of shogan, be my head, strike the ball. چون به موقع ساقیش درخواست کرد پیر میخواران سجا قد راست کرد. When in time his ساقی called out, the cupbearer called out, the master of the wine drinkers arose from his place. زینت افزای بساط نشأتین. O all adorning one of the two realms of existence. سرور و سر خیل مخموران حسین. O chief and leader of the intoxicated ones, حسین. گفت حسین said, آن کس که می جویی منم. He said, that which you seek is me. باد خاری را که می گویی منم. This drinking of wine that you speak of is me. شرطهایش را یکا یک گوش کرد. He listened to all the prerequisites of the pain and burdens to come. ساغر می را تمامی نوش کرد. He drank from all the chalice of wine. He emptied it. باز گفت از این شراب خوشگوار دیگرت گر هست یک ساغر بیار. He said, of this chalice if there's more, bring it and I'll drink it. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله.